It's time. Tool number one. Okay.
Hi, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to the Minnesota OA How live meeting. My name is Ida. I'm a compulsive eater and your leader for this meeting. Hi, thank you. This is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. We want to again emphasize to everyone that the link, login, and instructions that you received to participate on this meeting are not to be published anywhere, but only to be shared with those is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its nature very visual. We want to welcome all those here and virtually. You may reference our webcast guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meeting tool, reading and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool or participate in any other way in the meeting's live chat. We do this in advance so that we can keep the meeting flowing smoothly. If you need technical help, there will be multiple coaching sessions Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time on this same meeting. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. We ask that if you do need to eat during the meeting, please eat quietly in the back of the room. For those in person, please take a moment to silence or turn off your cell phones and do not connect to the room's Wi-Fi. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself? Yay! The We Care folder will be circulating in the room for the duration of the meeting. The first time for you to list your name, telephone number, and email, and the rest for you to take names and phone numbers to call during the week. If you are joining us remotely, please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual quote unquote We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is How?
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carrie.
How is the movement within Overeaters Anonymous, whose basic principle is the abstinence, that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive eating, and that and the beginning of a spiritual life? Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Steps of Service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York sponsor guide.
Thanks, Carrie.
Yep.
Would someone please read the only requirement? Is there someone online? Howard.
Hi, this is Liz from Delaware. I can do that.
Thank you, Liz.
The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the How concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he, she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms.
Thank you.
Would someone please read the How concept? Hi. Oh, can't hear you, Bridget.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, now we can. Yep.
Okay. The How concept. The Overeaters Anonymous How meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute, and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands God, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen.
Thanks, Bridget. Would someone please read Reflections for the Newcomer?
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I'm still a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Welcome to our OA How. We are all so glad that you've decided to become part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord. Even with many things going on around us, therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many of us who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. If the pitfall of self-deception cannot be overstressed, if you are to recover, therefore a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his or her own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by food does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful health restorative. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from obsession so many of us have. God bless. And no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, this is Kelly, compulsive overeater in California.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Thank you. Expert from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships, and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive system. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us pills, shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with or without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouth until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of all, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Pass.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Again,
oh, can't hear you.
Day, compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon. Can you hear me now? Yes, you can.
Hi, Lisa. Yep, thank you.
Okay. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power, that one is God, and you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Lisa J., recovering compulsive overeater in Oregon. Thanks.
Thanks, Lisa J. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, this is Liz, grateful compulsive overeater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida.
Hi, Liz. Welcome.
Oh, start my video.
There you are.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Okay. Where were we? The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to our God, to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is, we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. That's from the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Thank you, I pass.
Thanks, Liz. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hello, this is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Thank you. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement of OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used. I know. What can I say? So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? Thanks, Mary. Uh, Virtual recipient participants receive timing prompts via chat. The first one, abstinence plan of eating.
Hi again, everyone. So Liz in Florida, grateful compulsive overeater.
Hi, Liz. Welcome.
Hi. Okay. Tool, plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HAL disciplines were designed for food-addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. HAL abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in HAL. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HAL program concept use the following guidelines for food plans. One, we do not write our own food plans. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. So I'm now going to verbally describe what I do with my abstinence kit, which is my scale, my spoons, and my telephone. So I work from home, but when I leave the house, this is in my car at all times. And in it, I have some backup food, along with my measuring cups, measuring spoon, and I've got a protein in here. I've got dried fruit, I've got a prepackaged fat, and I've got a grain back here. Also, I have a food plan. And if I'm not at home, this way I know that I have what I committed and I can check it off on the sheet and that I don't eat something that was not committed. And I also have a phone list. And that's so I can call somebody if the food that I plan to eat went bad, and let's say my phone had a problem and I lost all my numbers or I lost my phone. I can borrow somebody's and call a sponsor on the phone list. And then the primary tool I have in my abstinence kit is a scale. So I have this digital scale that I can fit in my purse, and it opens up and I put my plate on it and it disappears. So if I'm at a restaurant, it's very discreet and this fits right in my purse. I also have a digital scale at home. This sits on my counter at all times. And most people use a digital scale to weigh things, but if you use a measuring cup, fork and a spoon, measuring cups and spoons, and I also do carry those, what you need to do is use a straight edge. So I also have this in my kit. And you decide if you're a stuffer or a fluffer. What that means is you can put your vegetables in here, your salad, and you can pack it in, or you can pack it in loosely. But you decide what it is that you are, if you're a fluffer or a stuffer, and then you stick with it. You don't say, oh, I feel like having more cauliflower today, so I'm going to be a stuffer today. Nope. You get to pick one. And you put it in, and you use your straight edge, and you measure it off. just make sure you don't measure it off over your plate of food. And the same thing goes for your fats. If you have a tablespoon, you use a straight edge, but it's a good idea not to do it over your salad if it's salad dressing. And I see some messages coming up, but hopefully I'm not out of time. So if you spill it onto your salad, you will end up needing to redo your salad. And this has a tear button. And what that means is you set it to zero, you put your items on it, and then you hit this button and that sets it to zero. And then you put your next item on it and then you set it to zero. So you know what each item on your plate weighs. Let's see. Spare batteries. Okay. So I think that's it for my abstinence kit. And I'll continue reading, make sure I didn't miss anything. Nope. Okay. So number four, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Number five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. We do not drink alcohol. We do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. So, my food plan was formulated by a nutritionist, and I'm blocking my fire. Here we go, that's better. Okay, and that nutritionist is familiar with HAL, and she's familiar with my trigger foods, and the food plan that I got from her is based on my age, my weight, and my activity level. My food plan has two parts. It has portions for each meal, so different food groups. I'll have a protein, I'll have a fruit, I'll have a grain, I'll have vegetables. And it also has a list of the foods and the portion equivalents, so I know how much I'm having at each meal. And I don't decide to eat my quantities that I would normally have for dinner at lunchtime. Like for Thanksgiving, I kind of wanted to have a grain, some sweet potato, but I don't have a grain at dinner. So I had it at lunch. So we don't switch meals, we don't combine meals. My food plan was pretty pivotal for me. I've been doing OA for about 37 years, and I just started HAL in May of 2018. And what this allows me to do is focus on the recovery with my sponsor, and I focus on the food with my nutritionist. And my plan is pretty simple. I repeat it a lot, and that's fine. It's just nutrition, feeding my body so I can get on with living. And it's very black and white. And I love it because I know what I'm eating. I don't have to think about it. I don't have the thoughts rattling around in my head. Should I eat it? Should I not eat it? What's going to happen if I eat it? No more monkey chatter. And I love that part of this program. And I think that's all I have to share. And with that, I will pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Liz. Thanks, Liz. Sponsorship.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie. I'm a compulsive overeater calling in from Oregon. Hi.
Hi, Melanie. Welcome.
Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are in for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the sponsor is, what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books, who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down a discharge of the program. It is not the extra string that results in some trouble. The how concept alternative for people who have tried everything else in the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools. Using the tool to measure sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, and anonymity, we follow the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. It's timer here real quick. Here we go. Okay, hi. Again, my name is Melanie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Oregon. I have been just delighted and quite richly blessed because my study and my reading and writing assignments recently have been in the chapter in the big book, Working with Others, and then on to step 12 in the 12 and 12 of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they were serious about the role of sponsoring. The beauty about OA How is that there's a very specific way in which we do things, in which we sponsor. And when I was finished with my questions and nervous to do that sort of thing, I was nicely, neatly sandwiched in with people that have already had been sponsoring and could give me some tips and advice, and that was just able to be channeled through to the new sponsoring, and I could just teach from that particular point. But there's many more aspects about sponsoring and how come we do this thing. I'm building a parallel life from which I used to live, and I have not done that before, and I'm putting in key components so that I can live free from the bondage of Melanie. Free from the bondage of Melanie, and freedom from the food, because I'm an addict. I'm the real deal, 100%, 100% of the time. Now, it's kind of going through the literature here to be able to read a couple of key points. There's so many gems, but I want to just say this. I want to read a couple of bits here, out of the big book. And it tells me here, practical, which is in action, experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. All that self-reliance, all the things I did, if I just get out there and work with another person, offer to them what was been given to me, I will have what he says. One, this is in the 12 and 12. And that was on page 89, the first paragraph of your big book, in case you want to take a study of that. It's a full chapter devoted to sponsoring. My goodness gracious, pretty important stuff. No other chapter has a full chapter on a step as that. And step 12 here says on page 106 in the 12 and 12, the joy of living is the theme of AA's 12 step and action word. Here we turn outward toward our still in distress. Here we experience a kind of giving that asks no rewards. Here we begin to practice all 12 steps of the program in our daily lives of sobriety. We are quite immature. How to give any mature spiritual spot, and it just gets better. It is the joy.
Thank you, Melanie. Sorry about that technical difficulties. Will all sponsors, How and OA, please join me in sharing the following. How long in OA and How? How long abstinent in OA or How? How much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Do I read this chapter two, this paragraph? Okay. Please form a line starting at the microphone. Continue behind me. Remote sponsors are invited to share following our line by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera or just turning on your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and see a "you are unmuted by host," quote unquote, screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors joining us on the phone, please wait for a pause in the line. Press *6 on your telephone keypad. Hi, everybody. I'm Ida, compulsive overeater, food addict. I committed to OA How in March of 2002. My abstinence date is 11/26/10, and God has relieved me of 45 pounds.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 33 years. I have 18 years and 4 months of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Good evening, I'm Mary G, compulsive overeater. I came to OA in Western Massachusetts in the spring of 2004. We moved to Minnesota in October 2012. My first OA How meeting was on Halloween. I became abstinent the next day and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Hello everyone, I'm Nancy D, compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of How in June of 2017, became abstinent. My back-to-back abstinence date is March of 2019, and I have in How my top known weight. I am down, been relieved of 85 pounds.
Nancy.
Hi, my name is Nancy P. I am a compulsive overeater. I came into OA How in April of 2016, and I am down 70 pounds and have been maintaining that, and have discovered a whole new life in OA How and a freedom that I could never have experienced. With that'll pass.
Megan.
Hey y'all, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and an OA How sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. Sorry, really tired. I've given away about 85 to 90 pounds twice in program. I'm a relapse survivor, an abstinent pregnancy, and again, this is Megan in Virginia. I pass.
Jana.
Thank you. Hi, this is Jana B. I'm a compulsive overeater and restrictor and 2-hour How format sponsor in California. My recommitted abstinence date is August 4th, 2014. I've been maintaining about a 20-pound weight loss for several years, and I forget what the last thing is, so I'll pass. Thanks.
Melanie.
Hi everyone, Melanie, recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon again. I was introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in 1989 and suffered in and out of the rooms for 17 years before I found how. I've had continuous abstinence for 14 plus years, and I have an abstinence date in How now of November 5th, 2018, maintaining over 165 pound weight loss for about 13 of those years. Melanie from Oregon, thanks.
Debbie.
Hi, everyone. I'm Debbie, a compulsive overeater. I came to the rooms of OA in February of 2005. I started working the How concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I am down a little over 100 pounds, and I pass.
Rivetel.
Unmute myself. Here I am, I think. Can people see me? There we go. Hi there, everyone. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revital, coming in from Toronto. I walked into OA in general in 2004, was introduced to the two-hour OA How program in May of 2017. My abstinence date is May 23rd of 2017. By the grace of God and the power of this program, my body has released over 100 pounds. And I may have an opening coming up. And so my telephone number is 416-939-6368. And again, it's Revital, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict from Toronto.
Deborah.
Hi, I'm Deborah, MT from Virginia, Eastern Time. I came to OA in 2006 and then came to Howe in 2012. I have been graze-free since 2006. I've been sugar-free since 2012 and binge-free. My most recent abstinence date is December 20th of last year, and I'm down 80 pounds from my top weight, and I've been about 10 pounds less. Thank you.
Hiya.
You're back to meeting. Sorry, you guys. I think you can see me, but can you hear me?
Oh, now we can.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. This is Hiya P in Denver, Colorado. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 1987 and started in the regular meetings and the bulimic meetings in Los Angeles. And then I found OA How in Los Angeles in December of 1988. And I was in there for a long time and moved a couple of places and stayed. And then over the last 25 years was in different subgroups of Overeaters Anonymous and very grateful to have found How, the two-hour How format. So I've been abstinent in two-hour How since June 20th of 2019. I'm maintaining about a 45-pound weight loss, and I'm grateful to be here. Thanks.
Kelly.
Hi, this is Kelly F., compulsive overeater in California, and I came to How in October of 2018. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 27th, 2019. I'm maintaining a 70-pound weight loss through the grace of the two-hour How format program. I'm a sponsor. I don't have any openings right now. Kelly in California. Pass.
Thanks, everyone.
I had to ask.
Is there anyone else? Star six on the phone. If you'd like to announce your sponsor.
Hi, I'm Liz, and I am a grateful compulsive overeater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. I joined OA in 1982, and I began working the two-hour How format in 2018. I am a two-hour How sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is 8-8-2019, and I do have an opening. So my phone number, this is for a newcomer only, someone who just joined How, is 386-852-9209, and I'll repeat that. It's 386-852-9209, and the opening is for 9:30 in the morning, and that's Eastern time, And please wait till after the meeting or tomorrow morning if you want to call me. So thanks for letting me get on the sponsor line. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Okay. Clay Feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we've been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity. Oh, can't hear you, Nancy.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
This is Nancy, compulsive overeater from Minnesota.
Hi, anonymity. Nancy. Welcome.
Thank you. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom from expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and television means that we never allow our last names or faces to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time honestly who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, "Your secrets are safe." Come share our recovery, recovery in a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here.
I know that myself, I was a really, I was a secret hiding binger. Like, I guess I thought that even though I was, you know, 80 pounds overweight, that nobody would have any idea that I was overweight because I ate in private and hid and snuck food. And there's a lot of shame and embarrassment and fear of judgment that comes into that. And knowing that that is safe here in the rooms of OA is a freedom like no other, because you know that you can trust people here. And unless you are a compulsive overeater, you really don't know what it feels like to be so ashamed and to hide that. And to be accepted and loved no matter where you're at is a really huge piece. And it couldn't happen if we didn't have the anonymity piece, because anonymity helps prevent gossip too. That's the other piece of the anonymity that I find really, the first piece of how much I appreciate anonymity is in my program, that I can share with other fellows. But then as I dig deeper and learn more about myself in program, anonymity has showed me some of my character flaws that I didn't really realize were there. The talking about someone, sharing that, that I was so concerned about them, was really just gossip. But I didn't see that until I started working my OA program. So the tool of anonymity has helped me to share things, but it's also helped me to become a much better person. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy. Telephone calls.
Hi, all. This is Megan in Virginia.
Hi, Megan. Welcome.
Thank you. Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as a part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, to reach out and extend that same help to others. In how we are asked to make at least 4 phone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So I'm really grateful to be back here tonight. My schedule's been crazy lately and I haven't been able to make this meeting. And even though I'm doing service by leading another meeting this week, I really wanted to be here with you all on this one. So my the telephone is one of the first tools I do every day. I have an early morning sponsee, 2 sponsees and a sponsor call. And so I start my day off with this tool and I use it throughout the day. I find that some days it's really easy to make phone calls and it feels like I'm clicking with everybody. And other days it feels like like I'm climbing a mountain, you know, like I'm trying to trudge up this mountain and the wind is blowing and there's things falling on my head. I don't know. You know, some days are just hard. So lately we have this new tool that a lot of folks are using. There was the WhatsApp group and now there's the Telegram or Telegraph, I get it mixed up, group. And that's been incredibly helpful. You can, if you know you have an hour that, you know, I'm eating lunch and I have this hour that I don't have a lot going on, I can put out there that I'm open for phone calls. And sometimes you're inundated. They get too many. You're like, you know, I can't keep up with all these people. So that's an amazing technological addition to our phone calls. It allows you to speak to people in other countries, different time zones. It's like free internet calling if you use the app. Again, I don't understand how these things work. They just do. But it's an amazing tool. So it's amazing how much technology just allows us to connect in a way that is almost unfathomable to me, being
an isolator and being somebody who really has a hard time letting people in my face-to-face life, the telephone and the way we use it in this program allows me to let people in on a much deeper level than I think I would be comfortable. And you know, that goes hand in hand with anonymity and everything else that we do here. So thank you all for being here with me and working this program and taking my calls when I call. And I really appreciate it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Megan. Meetings. I don't have meetings. I think Howard stole them. She's coming.
Good evening, everyone. Again, Nancy D, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Nancy.
Welcome. Thank you. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gift we receive through this program, the gifts that we receive through this program. You all, when I attended the meeting, on purpose, also am online and I've connected to the chat. And so as I've been encouraged to do, and as I'm finding more and more as I attend the meetings, as I practice the tools, the phone calls, the reading and the writing, just the service. And my point is that as I was sitting there, I seen it go across the chats that they needed someone to do reading sponsors. And I thought, so I didn't come prepared to do a tool, but nonetheless, I've been living a tool just by sheer fact that I'm here tonight in a meeting. And then also what meetings serve as an opportunity for me to see, witness that I'm not alone and that the baffling disease that I experienced through much of my life, that there's recovery. And this is like a huge injection, just a shot, reminding me as I see the individuals online, as I see them here in the room, just that again, I'm not alone and I'm so thankful for HOW and the meetings. And I heard a individual mention about the parallels in their lives that they're trying to develop. And I thought, and the parallel of my life pre-HOW and in my faith community, one of the things that I come to know and understand as is parallel to my life here in HOW is that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and coming to the meetings, participating, being of service. That is, again, it's reigniting my faith that is dead unless I work. And like I hear in meetings and experience that this program works if I work it, and I do. So with that, I will pass. Thank you, everyone. Nancy D, compulsive overeater.
Thanks, Nancy. Literature and writing.
Good evening, I'm Mary G, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mary, welcome.
Literature and writing. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program by substituting the words
food and compulsive eating, for the words alcohol and alcoholism we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for Today, for daily meditation, Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So I just this morning got back from a whirlwind trip out to the West Coast and back, just climbed off the train at 7:30 this morning. And I have found, my granddaughter calls this my daily routine because she's seen me doing it. I found my reading and writing to be very grounding, especially when you're out of your element, which I was for the past 2 weeks with two separate family groups and on three different trains. That part of my daily deal was that I called my sponsor, and then immediately after that, I do my reading and writing. And also, you know, when you're traveling, especially for Thanksgiving or any holidays, there are situations that come up that are troubling or concerning, and it's so much better for me to be writing about them in my journal and reading them to my sponsor and talking about them to other fellows on hookups than it is to be hashing them over with my husband or one of my adult children, et cetera, et cetera. It is such, it makes the day go so much better when you know that you've grounded yourself in a sponsor call and reading and writing, and I usually do meditation in the morning as well. So I just commend that to all of you as we go through this really busy holiday season, that it is so grounding and helpful in situations that can really throw you off base. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mary.
Yep. Service.
There we are. Hi, everyone. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revy Tell.
And, hi, Revy Tell. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Okay, it's good to be here tonight. Let me just scroll down here. Service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. Quote, a life of sane and happy usefulness, end quote, is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. And so again, I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater, and my name is Revy Tell. I'm so grateful to be here tonight. Response able. I'm able to respond. I'm able to do something to help to contribute to make this happen. And it takes a village. It takes all of us to do a little bit of something, whether I am showing up, picking up the phone and inviting someone to have a peek at this kind of a meeting, someone who may have been interested in the slightly different ways in which we work the OA How program, or sharing anything that we can do, that I can do to help support
the message of caring or to help support the caring of the message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer really, in essence, helps me. So what I do to others, I'm actually doing unto myself as well. And there's something very godly in that for me. So being here tonight, witnessing group conscience and being able to contribute to that means that I'm doing service, not just to my fellows, but to God as I understand God. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Revital. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service? Yay! If you have not yet added your information to the chat for our We Care book, please take a moment to do so now so we can add it to the book here in the room. We will keep the We Care book circulating until everyone has had an opportunity to sign it. The folder will continue to circulate for the duration of the meeting so that everyone may take names and phone numbers for their personal contacts. Either you enter your email in the chat to receive the list. Is there anyone who has not yet signed? Okay. The Minnesota OA How live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are here with us today for the first time in the meeting room, will you please stand and introduce yourself by first name only? I think we've all been here. If you are attending for the first time virtually, please turn on your video, unmute your line, or press *6 on your telephone's keypad. And just introduce yourself by first name only. Okay.
Well, this is, can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you.
I can't get my video to work, but this is Lisa V. I used to attend the How meetings in Minnesota, and then I moved to Florida. So that's where I'm calling from, and I'm so happy to find this meeting. So thank you for doing this.
Oh, thank you for coming, attending. Anyone else new this evening?
Hello. This is Rocky. This is the first meeting.
Hi, Rocky. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Anyone else attending for the first time?
Hi, this is Anne Marie calling from Virginia.
Hi, Anne Marie. Welcome. Hi,
thank you. I was on this meeting just once before, but I guess I was too shy to introduce myself then, so I'm doing it today. Thanks
for
being
here for me. Oh, no worries. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. And anyone else? All right. Thanks, everyone. May we have a treasurer's report? Okay, not tonight. Just keep the money flowing in. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL. Refine the technology, develop other OA face-to-face groups, and more. A basket will be passed for those here in the room and those joining virtually. You may go to mnhowlive.org to donate. Okay, so now I get to decide what I want to read. Okay. We've got some bad news for you. Oh, no. I know, it's true. It was bad news for us, and it will probably be bad news for you. Whether you quit 6 days, months, or years, if you go out and take that first compulsive bite of food, you'll end up just like you've been in the past. You are a compulsive overeater, and so am I. And that's from the Big Book, page 187. Are there any announcements here in the room or virtually? Doesn't look like there's any here in the room.
Hi, I'm Deborah. I'm powerless over food.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I am a care group coordinator, which means I provide a service called the 12 Step Within service. So if you are in the rooms already and you are still struggling, or you're coming in, out of a relapse, or your program needs help and strengthening, I can gather a few people to have a phone conference to listen to you and build understanding and help you with the next steps of your program. I'm Deborah MT from Virginia. I'm at 703-475-1790. And it's called a care group. So if you would like to strengthen your program and need a few sponsors to hear you out for, you know, an hour or so, we can work that out. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Megan?
Yeah, hi, all. Thanks. Thank you. I am one of the folks on for this meeting that finds remote or sponsors to speak. And for the people who are online tonight, we are looking to fill a few tough dates. We need someone to speak for December 24th and December 31st. So Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are Tuesday nights this year. So if anybody knows that they're not going to be doing anything that evening and would like to be of service in some way to their fellowship, that would be huge for us. So my phone number is 757-375-3102. And I will put that in the chat as well in case anybody is inspired to give service on one of those special nights. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you, Megan. Any other announcements? Sure. Deborah, if you can just put your phone number in the chat, that would be helpful. Someone's asking for it. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone joining us virtually may also request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay, I'll be right back. Here's the medallion box. Yay, thank God. So, I don't know about you, but boy, there was a time when I couldn't even put together a couple hours of abstinence. And then thank God OA HOW came to town, and thank God for our sponsors and fellows and grace of God. So we do celebrate days and months and years of abstinence. And so I'm just going to begin with the higher numbers. Does anybody have... Does anybody have 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, or 10 years celebrating? How about 9, 8, 7, 6, 5? 4 years, 3 years, 2 year, 18 months? Anyone celebrating 1 year of back-to-back OA How abstinence? 9 months? 6 months? 3 months? 2 months? 1 month, which is a huge deal. They're all huge deals, but 1 month is particularly a huge deal. And then we have probably one of our most important medallions is the 24-hour chip. It doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean you're ready to sign up necessarily. It just means that there's something around food you would like to do differently. And it's just the desire to refrain from compulsive overeating. And I know when I got a 24-hour medallion, it was just, I just kept it in my pocket all the time, just knowing there was a source of strength way bigger than me. So again, it doesn't mean you have been committed. It doesn't mean you have been abstinent. It doesn't mean you're going to sign up with OA How. It just means you saw something or heard something here that you like and are, may consider, and just the desire to stop compulsively overeating. Is there anyone who's interested in a medallion? They're free. Free but priceless. Okay, well, just let us know if you change your mind. Thanks a lot. Oh, did I miss somebody? Anne Marie?
Yes, hi. I can't get my video to work. This is Anne Marie, and I have a desire to stop eating compulsively.
Oh, wow, awesome. Well, thank you so much. Woo!
Way to go, Anne Marie. Woo!
Okay, so Anne Marie, if you can put your address in the chat, and then we'll send you a medallion, a 24-hour chip.
Okay, will do. Thank you so much.
Yeah, awesome. Good for you. Yay. Anyone else? Rocky? I see a little note that your hand is raised.
Hi.
Hi.
I also have the desire to stop eating compulsively.
Oh, lovely. Yay. So again, Rocky, if you would put your address in the chat, and then we'll mail you a medallion, a 24-hour medallion.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Woo-hoo, way to go, oh, Rocky.
Yay. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. All right. Step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At How meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program, stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups? And not tonight. Okay. And then anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous anniversary. Are there any? I don't believe tonight there's any anniversaries. Virtual attendees may sign up to celebrate your step up or anniversary via the link on our website. The leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. All right, that would be me. Hi, everybody. I'm Ida. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and a food addict.
Hi, Ida.
Hi, thanks for being here. I was a compulsive overeater for over 26 years. And if someone would have said to me, you know, you are going to be under the influence of an addiction that you will not be able to stop, that you will not want to stop, and it will affect negatively every area of your life, every day that you participate in it, I would have said, I'm sorry, that's not going to be me. That just won't be me. If someone would have said, you're going to do whatever you want every day, you're going to eat whatever you want every day, you're going to eat the amounts you want every day, and you're going to be miserable every day for over 26 years, I would have said, I am really sorry, but that's not going to be me. But it was me. You know, I didn't grow up wanting to be a compulsive overeater. When I was a kid, I didn't, you know, food really wasn't a big deal to me. There were some things I ate, some things I loved, some things I didn't love. And, I wasn't obsessed with it. I did hoard it at Halloween. I think I did hoard candy. But it, you know, it just didn't occupy my life. And then I left for college and just really insecure and vulnerable. I just felt very inferior. And I was kind of a loner and quiet. And I was just afraid of getting found out. I just felt like I was unacceptable. And in meeting people, the way we got to know each other was to go out to eat. And so this big world of food like opened up to me. We didn't have a whole lot of money growing up. My mom and dad were immigrants and they worked really hard and had a really strong work ethic. And, you know, money, we just had to watch what we purchased. And so, you know, we didn't ask for a lot of things. So here I am now in college, and I have some money from student loans, and I'm going out with people, and I'm going to fast food restaurants, and I'm like, oh my gosh. The world of food like exploded. And I think I was addicted just quite soon after I started eating. I loved anything that was greasy, fatty, sugary, chocolatey, carb. I gave myself permission to eat whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted it. And I did that. And I developed what I call the disease of more. I just, you know, I think as a child, I felt on one side of the pendulum, like sort of deprivation. And now I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go for it. And I had no boundaries at all. So I'd like to read, this is from the big book, The Doctor's Opinion. And this is from Roman numeral 16. six. No, 16. XXVI. Okay, we believe, and so suggested a few years ago, that the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy. So for me, the action of binge food on this compulsive overeater, food addict, thank you, is a manifestation of an allergy, that the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. These allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all, and once having formed the habit and found they cannot break it, once having lost their self-confidence, their reliance upon things human, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to solve. And this happened quite soon after I began eating, and I could see other people be able to eat in moderation, and I couldn't, and I didn't want to. And then again, the doctor's opinion, 28, Roman numeral 28. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking, my case eating, without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy, which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And when I came into the meeting and heard that, I just wanted to plug my ears and scream. It was the last thing I wanted to hear. I just knew that there must be a way for me to be able to moderate my intake and still have all the foods that I wanted. But you know, that wasn't one of the doors that was presented to me in OA How. It was, either door number A, recovery and life, or it was door number B, do what I was doing. Thank you. Do what I was doing and continue being miserable, die early. I was so mad to be a compulsive overeater. This was not what I wanted. But I'm so grateful. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater, because it was all about me. It was all about me and what I wanted and what I wanted to eat and what I wanted to do. And I wasn't getting along with people, and I had no tolerance for people, and I had no tolerance for mistakes. And life had me by the throat. I couldn't cope with anything, and I used food for any emotion and every emotion. And I didn't even want to think about God, because I knew that I was not living the way my higher power wanted me to live. So by the grace of God, I just really hit a bottom. And I had been in traditional OA, but I didn't work it. I was abstinent, and I was weighing and measuring, but I didn't work the steps. And then in about 2000, 2001, OA How came to Minnesota. And right there, I was in the middle of a relapse. And I knew how would work for me. I pretty much thought how would work for me because of the discipline. And I knew I really needed accountability, and I didn't want anything to do with it. And, what seems outrageous and crazy all of a sudden becomes an option when I was desperate enough. You know, when I'm miserable enough, then this program doesn't look so goofy. So I went to a meeting, and what I saw were fellows like me who chose recovery, and they were happy, joyous, and free. And I saw me doing whatever I wanted in life, eating whatever I wanted in life, and I was really deeply unhappy. And I thought, this just isn't working anymore. And by God's grace, it took me a while. It really took me a while. There were many rules and I got confused and I couldn't keep things straight. And if there's a hard way to do anything, I'm sure I'll find it. But anyway, by God's grace, I did commit to OA Howe in March of 2002. I need to stop. And thanks so much for being here and letting me share. Mm-hmm. All right. Who's this? Deborah. Okay. I would like to introduce Deborah, our guest speaker, who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Hi, I am Deborah. I'm powerless over food. I'm from Virginia. I posted my contact information, but I'm just so happy to be here tonight. I want to thank Megan for calling me and inviting me to give this service, which is such a beautiful service, and Howard for helping me get everything technologically set up. So let me claim my seat. I'll speak about my experience, my strength, and my hope. My experience is I grew up in a chaotic household, and in that chaos and lack of emotional connection, I guess I just stumbled upon food, and I had, you know, the brain chemistry, the disease in the brain, and cooperated with it and found a way to just not consciously, but not a conscious thought, oh, let me go get some food. But probably by the time I was six, I was engaging with food, and it brought a chemical reaction in my brain like anybody else's, and it calmed me down, that's for sure. So an example of that is, you know, my parents would have parties, and boy, I liked those because there'd be lots of food all over the place and my favorite drink. And I remember one time there was a little girlfriend in the party with me, and I was showing her how to open the refrigerator and kneel down. I'm kneeling down in front of the refrigerator, and I'm showing her how to take your finger and go in here for this dessert, which blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of, you know, how I did it growing up. Desserts were definitely my thing. My mother served great food, wonderful food on the table. But I definitely, you know, would eat that to get dessert. And then when I came to Howe, I remember my brain, I couldn't wrap my brain around eating a meal and not having a dessert after that. It was like, my brain didn't work that way. So it works that way now. And I've talked to other people and shared that with them. But so I grew up with four older sisters and a mom. So I really had five people telling me what to do all the time. So that was something. But I chose to, and I made a vow to not rock the boat. So all my negative feelings had to stay down. They had to stay down. And I guess food kept them down. Because when I came to Howe and I really started to let go of the food, all those feelings came back. It was like I was 6 years old again emotionally, and I've had to grow up ever since. They say these rooms are not a diet club, and I completely agree, but I'll call it a growing up club because we are doing hard things, and that's what you have to do to grow up emotionally. So let me show you some pictures. Most of my life, I look like this. So here we go. See you. There you go. So most of my life, you know, here I am at the holiday. I've got my stretchy pants on, my nice big top. It's pretty, and my hair's done nice. And my hands always seem to find the white box in the household. Somewhere in the house, there's some white box with restained, and there I am with the on the box. Another photo is, this is a favorite outfit of mine. I love this outfit that was given to me. Sadly, it got in the dryer and it shrunk 4 inches, and I could no longer wear it because I couldn't fit into it, but I couldn't give it away, so I put it in my closet. And then when I lost all my weight, I could wear it again, so now I wear it. So that's kind of fun. So that's how I was. I'll show you some pictures of how I look now, since you're really not going to see it me now. So there I am with my son at a dance that he had for his school, in my little red dress with shoes that he picked out for me, which are Cinderella silver shoes, which is really fun. And then this is I look hot. So here we go. Here's my one picture of me looking hot. And a halter top. I cannot believe I grew up overweight and lost the weight finally. And I am wearing a halter dress with my husband at a party. So that's kind of a fun picture. And I'm the same size I was when I lost all the weight. So I grew up, so probably from the age of 6 to the age of 50, I was overweight, and I looked like those pictures. It pretty much all my weight was pretty stable within 30, 40 pounds. You know, I'd go up and then I'd come back down, and so forth. And I used to think that that's what my problem was, a weight problem. That's what I used to think. Then I found out, then I thought I had a pain problem in life, but everybody else had pain and they weren't overweight. So then I read the literature when I came to Howe. That's when I finally started reading the literature in 2012 regularly, as we do. And I found that I had self-will run riot. So I really liked what the last speaker said about wanting your way. And it was, listening to her was like a walk down memory lane. I forgot how much I wanted to eat whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, as much as I wanted, and lose weight or stay the same weight. And I identified with that in the 12 and 12, the OA 12 and 12 says, you know, we prayed to God for help, but what we really wanted was to keep everything the same and have different results. So sadly, that was the big bubble that burst in my OA recovery life. So I came to, so I grew up overweight, but since I was 13, from 13 or maybe even 11 onward, I was trying to lose weight. I mean, all I had was the weight problem, so I was trying to lose weight. So I was perpetually like on this diet. I probably gained and lost, you know, I don't know, hundreds of pounds, I don't even know. But it was a mentality of always trying to lose weight. So about the time I was around 20, I found God in a deeper spiritual way. And so then it was like, me and God, we're gonna hold hands together and I am going to lose this weight. So me and God, we're holding hands together and I'll just tune into God and he'll tell me what to eat and we'll just do this together. And after about 20 years and hanging around some other people and how, it finally dawned on me, if I could lose weight, just me and God holding hands, if I could lose it, I probably would have by now. I think in my 40s, I finally dawned on me that I must need something outside myself to really do this. And like I said, I was rubbing shoulders with some other people and how, and I was socializing with them and seeing what they eat and how they eat and all of that. They were the first big books that I read, and the first 12 and 12 I read was watching them, really. So eventually I came to, we adopted our child, and within a year, I really wanted to get healthy for the love of this child. I wanted to get healthy and be better, and so I ended up joining OA, even though I had been exposed to it in high school. So I joined OA, and for the next 6 years, I earnestly tried to do regular OA. I wanted my abstinence to be, you know, 3 plates of food and nothing in between. I thought, that's great. I don't want anybody. I don't want those how people, you know, I don't want restrictions. I don't want this nutritionist thing to be the answer. I want to just, you know, pick what I want, put it on the plate, and I'll be okay. And so I tried that, and I tried to schedule my desserts. Of course, it's still about the desserts. So I planned with my sponsor. I was just going to have dessert on Sunday. And so I did that for a while. And then it was sort of like, well, you know, can it be like Saturday night? So then it was like, I'm going to have dessert on Saturday night. Oh, Sunday's here. Well, maybe I'll just have dessert also on Sunday. And then it was like, Friday night sounds pretty good. It's the start of the weekend. So I'll, you know, so in, you know, like here I am in OA trying to like manage the food because I think that's the problem. And so that was my OA experience. And I probably lost 10 pounds and I couldn't go anywhere else. I couldn't lose anything else. And I, so after 6 years of doing that, and I was, I went to a pain way and I love the pain way. And I, you know, I did everything they told me to do except these string bean slips, which have been permeated my recovery until the last year. But, you know, it's like, I couldn't get this weight off. So finally I told my sponsor, I said, you know, is it possible to be abstinent? And in the last 6 months, I've put on about a pound a week, so I've gained 25 pounds. And she's like, no, no, it's not. Go, do not walk, run, do not walk. Go to a nutritionist, get a plan that's really good for you. And she was a half person, but she was sponsoring me in regular OA. And she said, and you know, and read this in the 12 and 12, and it's the part about, you know, people who are leaving a ship, a sinking ship, and so forth. And so she really put me in the right direction. Boy, but that was not the answer I wanted. So I was very sad for a couple of days, that's for sure. And then I decided, well, why don't I do what Abraham Lincoln said? Let me decide to be happy that I got the answer to my problem, even though it wasn't the answer I wanted. So let me just decide to be happy and go this route with this nutritionist and follow this plan until proven otherwise. And that was 8 years ago, and I'm still waiting for it to prove otherwise. Unfortunately, working perfectly. Yes, surrender and willingness work absolutely perfectly in this program. So I got actually abstinent, and then a friend said, well, if you have to be abstinent in this particular way, you might like to go to the HAL rooms. And then I went to the HAL rooms, and I found all these other people that had to do what I had to do, and I was really, really happy to find other people to do that. So that's my experience of how, like, I got into the rooms. My strength, I have asked other people what my strengths are, and the other sponsors who've known me over the years have said a few things I'll just share. They said being courageous is a big strength of mine, and just be looking at the bottom line and saying, okay, I'm going to change and get a different result. I want a different result. I'm going to do something differently. And so I just go forward with courage. So I just hope I can pass that on to anybody here tonight that needs some courage to do something differently, to get a different result. Also, I've been told that I have a big strength in my connection with God, which I just am so dependent upon every day. I could not do this without God. And what God's intent was, not to do it alone, but to have a fellowship of others. And I've really had to learn that lesson here in the HAL rooms, to rely on other people and to reach out and find other people to help me understand what it is to recover and how to activate my already good relationship with God, like how to activate that instead of going to the food. You know, I shared about how I knelt down in front of the refrigerator. Well, you know, that's, I kneel down in front of my God now. You know, like now my physical body attitude is given to God, not to given to food. So those are some of my strengths that I've heard from others. Adaptability is another one. So the ability to let go yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday, after 4 days of working on it, writing, doing a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh step. Well, fourth, fifth, and sixth, I finally got to a point of readiness, and I was willing to let go of the anger and resentment I had. And to let it go and to just trust God with my future and with justice and with whatever I needed. So my hope, I'll end with my hope. So I've told you my experience of why I, you know, definitely belong in the rooms, my strength and my hope, you know, frankly, it has really boiled down to my hope is in God. It is just not in any of my loved ones changing and behaving the way I would hope they would become the people God wants them to become. Not really so much what I want them to do, but like I really want them to get their own real strong connection with God and have a transformation like I have. I went to a funeral recently and people complimented me on the outside. And I, you know, in a certain way said, if you think the outside looks good, you just see the inside, because God has done a complete changeover in me, in my transformation inside. So the outside now matches the insides, which is good. My hope really is in God, not in other people changing or other people doing what I want, or my house being clean, or my finishing the decluttering that I've started in the 90s that I still have not finished decluttering my house. I'm speaking to you from the only beautiful room in my house right now, at least in my opinion. Clean and decluttered and beautiful. Which is my sacred space now, really. It has all my 12-step literature here. I work my programs here in this room. It's great. So my hope is in God, in that he can, you know, it really boils down to what the big book says. I just find this every day, you know, trust God, clean house, share it with others. I struggle with string bean slips for all of my how years. Now I've been abstinent since December 20th of last year, and that was because of a challenge by my sponsor saying, look, you know, we're getting close to three slips. I'm going to have to let you go unless you can pick up the phone before you pick up the string bean. And I thank God I was ready to hear it and ready to say, okay, I don't know what's behind these string beans, but I know there is something behind those string beans. They served a purpose, which was to mask some feeling, some emotion. And so I said, all right, I've been working this program. I know what to do with my emotions. I'm going to let go of the string beans. I'm going to make the calls. I had to do hookup calls to figure out, you know, what do I need to do differently? Yet again, another thing I don't like, but yet again, the truth is I have to do something different. So that's what I did. And so thank God, one day at a time, you know, I finally let go of, you know, 6 years of string bean slips. I never slipped on any food that was not abstinent. You know, I've been sugar-free since, you know, 2012, but I've slipped on abstinent food. Well, who cares? You know, it's still a slip. And so I don't want that in my life. And definitely the things that were the problems, the inner pain that was hiding behind the string beans has come out. Maybe there's more out there too. I don't know, but I got people I can call and say how I'm feeling. I have tools to work. I have steps to work. I can, and God is always available for me. So, you know, there's no feeling that comes my way that God can't handle. And that's wonderful. And my sponsor reminds me that feeling abstinence feels better than anything else tastes. So I'm grateful for that. It has been quite a long road of recovery. I started this cooperating with the disease when I was 6. I started to not cooperate with it when I was 50, and now I'm 58. Well, I mean, I guess it was, you know, in my 40s, because I went to the regular OA. That was the beginning. Yeah, it just took what it took, 6 years of regular OA. And now I've been in house since
like I said, 2012. Yeah, February 3rd of 2012, I walked into my first HAL meeting. I have two HAL meetings locally, Wednesday night in Annandale, which I'm the treasurer for. Thank you, God, I have that wonderful service I can do for them. And then a Saturday morning in Alexandria. I'm the care group coordinator there. And after discussions, I realized I could be an at-large care group coordinator. 12th step within work. So I'm happy to do that. So that is my experience, my strength, others have said, and then my hope really just clearly in God to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing. In HAL meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Virtual sharing can be done by turning on your camera and unmuting yourself.
Hi there, I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revital.
Hi, Revital.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for the share tonight, both speakers. Really brought me to reflect and think about some things that defined a huge difference for me when I sat in the OA rooms for 13 years, unable to maintain any form of long-term abstinence or peace in my mind and in my heart. I was still an anxious, nervous, angry mess, even though I was excellent at dieting. Heck, I even have a degree. One of the big messages that I was reminded of today is that at the start of the OA HAL process, I was taught that when a food thought or a craving, which I guess is the next progression, comes up, for me, I needed to pause and literally look at the clock and go back up to 4 hours and do a 4-hour recall, because something was eating away at me that I wanted to partake in, even the so-called string bean slip. It's the decision to go to the food rather than to go to an inventory. And my subconscious and preconscious minds are powerful. I'm not fully aware. I just know that, you know, classic step one, I'm powerless over food when life is unmanageable. Only I'm not always aware of what's unmanageable. There's just too much going on. But thanks to this program, I'm able to say, oh, right, look at the clock. What happened up to 4 hours ago? Could have been 20 minutes ago, could have been an hour and a half ago. Someone or something scared me, depressed me, angered me, annoyed me, whatever it may be. And I need to process that because my character defects, the defective application of my natural instincts, are to just go there knee jerk. And my mind will just send SOS messages because this is how I'm wired as a food addict. I just suddenly feel I get food pictures. My brain sends SOS messages by flashing pictures of what I might like to have. That to me is a huge red flag today. Thanks to this program, I can look at it and say, ah, something's eating away at me that I want to eat away at something. What is that? And what character defect needs to be turned over? Where do I need to recalibrate my addict thinking by way of an inventory? What a great reminder today. Thank you for sharing, both of you.
Allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all of those who participated, especially our speaker, Deborah, who offered so much of herself. Thanks, Deborah. May we have the reading of Just for Today?
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carrie. Welcome.
Just for today, I will try to live through this day only, not tackling my whole problem life problems all at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make their minds up to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do something a good turn, somebody a good turn, and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to, just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me.
Thanks, Carrie.
For those joining us in person, I would like to ask for your help in putting away the equipment and bringing this room back to its original setup after we've concluded our closing prayer. Thanks for your help with this. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove the compulsion and time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer? Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. For those who are still suffering.
God,
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I can and the wisdom to show the difference. Thy will be done.
It works when you work it and give a lot of love.
Stay warm. Take care. Bye, everyone, virtually and in the rooms. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.
Bye.
Congratulations, Anne-Marie. Bye.